Brother Ken is going to speak to us on our living hope, And I don't know if we call you Canadian, American anymore, but he's from Brother Ken, we'll call on you at this time.
Thank you, Brother Ben. My dear brethren, Sister and Carmelita and I are very happy to be here at this convention. It's a great joy to be here. There's a lot of memories that have passed through these many years that we've been here. And it's a great privilege to be with the brethren here. We enjoy the conventions, we enjoy the services the past couple of days immensely. I'd like to, I failed yesterday to bring some of the loving greetings from some of the other brethren. Brother Mike Balco and Sister Balco wanted to be remembered to the brethren here. Also, from Sister Julia and her husband, Charles Terrace. Some of you may not know who Julia is, but she goes back a long way. They used to come here with her parents, and her parents' name is Litvin. Brother and Sister Litvin, they used to travel on their pilgrim trips here to the conventions for many years. And she and her sister Helen used to come with their parents here. Sister Helen died of cancer. And her mother used to sing, and Julia played the piano. And that's how we all remember them. But they come and they spend some time at the Dawn. She works there with Charles. And we're happy for their labors of love. We also have Christian loving greetings from the class from Agawam, Massachusetts. They wanted to be remembered to you. They knew we were coming here. We also have greetings from the workers at the Dawn. They wanted to be express their greetings and your prayers on their behalf. And also John Mercer. Some of you know him. Some of you don't. And he is a brother from Australia, from down under. And he's been coming for a number of years now. He can only stay 6 months at a time. The American government wouldn't give him an extension. But he's our man who works with our collar separation. So he does all our collar booklets, and he's done a lot of work. We mentioned yesterday, we also have greetings from Michael Schilling. And Michael Schilling is the one that has done all our booklets, translated them into Spanish and Portuguese. He's also translated the Tabernacle into Spanish and Portuguese. And John Mercer is the one who developed the collar for the top of the Tabernacle. So we're happy for these labors of love that these brethren have done and are still doing. We sang a theme hymn this morning, Rejoicing. We're rejoicing in the Lord. Why are you rejoicing in the Lord? It's because you have a living hope, isn't it? A living hope. And that's what we're going to talk about, exchange some points of view on our living hope. And I'd like to read a series of scriptures to you. One scripture is found in 1 Peter 1:3. And it says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again into a living hope. And in Romans 15:4, For whatsoever things were written before aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In Ephesians 1:18, it says, Ye may know the hope of his calling, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. And so we rejoice along those lines. And this convention has really brought us a lot of rejoicing. Colossians 1:5 tells us, Paul says, For the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, Romans 5:2. Rejoice, Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We have a lot of these messages the last 2 days. That blessed hope, a hope set before us. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Certainly, brethren, you'd agree with me, we thank God for such a hope like this. We thank God that you're here. And I'm sure you yourselves are happy that you are here. Every one of us are glad that we have such hope. Why? We've had expressions told to us here over the platform. We're called out of darkness unto this light. And we're rejoicing very much, aren't we? We're called out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're rejoicing in hope, a hope that has given direction to our life. Think about it. How has the truth changed your life? Think about it. Someday you can tell us that in your testimony. How the truth has changed your life. It's interesting what you can come up with. But not only that, our hope is not narrow. It's not just for ourselves. We also have hope, a wonderful hope for all of Adam's race. And we've heard this for the past 2 days. That's a wonderful hope. One reason that the truth means so much to us is because through the truth we have learned of God's love to all the families of the earth. A last message we had about God's mercy. It's wonderful. You know what else we learned here? We learned these past 2 days how we are able to look into God's mind. It is brought out to in the scriptures to us. How we can see into God's mind through the words of Jesus. But how can we, as imperfect creatures such as we have, such a wonderful hope, such a living hope? Why? Only because of the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word. We have faith in these promises. And faith is the basis of things hoped for. Ours is a very well-grounded hope. It's a foundation. And it's a foundation built on the word of God. And we've heard this for the past 2 days. It assures the promises of that word. We have that assurance through the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:8 reads this way. We do look not for the things that are seen, but for the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You and I can certainly say, thank God our hope is for the eternal things. Of all the forces that make for rejoicing Christians, brethren, none is more powerful than having a living hope. Not a dead hope, a living hope. Why? Because hope gives us courage. And who can be a soldier of the cross without the courage to express his convictions in the spirit of meekness and humility? And we've heard that here. But someone can say, well, what is hope? How can we define it? Let us try. We know in the New Testament the word hope is always refers to something good. Hope has a radiance. It has something that gives us a beginning. Hope is a gladsome thing based upon our faith. Hope is a keen desire for a good thing and an earnest expectation of receiving it. We hope for that which we desire. Now, I'll ask you a question. What do you have a desire for? What kind of a desire does the world have? We have a desire for everlasting life, don't we? We've heard that the past 2 days. You've heard it when you first come into the truth. We have a desire to see Him as He is. Isn't that true? Wonderful hope. We have a desire to be faithful unto death. We have it right here. We have that desire. We have a desire that we may receive the happy end of our hope, don't we? Yes, we do. And so, again, hope is like the sun, which is, we travel towards it. It casts the shadow of our burdens behind us. This is what it is. You know, I often think, some of the brethren talked about the politicians. Every time there's an election or there's somebody runs for office, they give you all kinds of promises. But you know what the people think? Ah, there's hope in the air. As one lady was interviewed on television after Obama became the president, she says, I don't have to worry anymore. He's going to pay for my mortgage. He's going to pay for my gas for my car. See the kind of hope they have? That's the kind of hope the world has. That's all they have. But think of the gift that was granted to you. This hope that brought it in Jonathan Freer brought out this morning. You're going to be kings and priests. You're going to be involved in bringing blessings to the world of mankind. What a joy that would be. And it will be. And you know, we know that true faith and hope must be based upon the words and promises of God. We know that hope is progressive. And what I mean by that, first comes a desire to serve God. You want to serve God. Nobody's asking you to, but you do it voluntarily. And that's exactly what the word sacrifice means. It's a voluntary act. And we all do it. We hear Jesus' words say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And then the real realization of that great truth. This is life eternal, that I might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We know faith, however, must precede all this. And I know no better text to show how our faith and hope develops and matures than Romans, the 5th chapter, and verses 1 to 5. We'll read some of the scriptures to you. And it says this, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, don't we? No other peace can you get anywhere else. But we get this peace that has been brought to us here at this convention through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Faith, justification, peace with God, standing in grace, and this leads to a rejoicing in hope of glory. A team hymn that you sang yesterday and today. Rejoice in the Lord. And that's the reason we rejoice. These verses that I have read, a few of them, But shows how our hope matures. And I like to read the other verses. But not only so, the scripture says, but we glory in tribulations. Oh, yes, we do. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. One of the greatest joy that we can show to our Heavenly Father when we go to Him in prayer to ask for His Holy Spirit. That's the greatest joy that a Heavenly Father. Yes, our hope is a wonderful hope, but it will be tested, no doubt about it. Our love, our faith, our loyalty is tested. And so our hope will also be tested. We may be tempted to become discouraged. Why? Well, maybe because we don't see God's plan develop as quickly as we think it should. We talked about it yesterday. But you know, it's human nature. Did you ever realize that within yourself? It's human nature. You want things to happen in your day, in your life. It's been with our brethren who have died before us. They thought things would happen for a certain time. We talked about it with Jim this morning. There are brethren that wanted things to happen by 1914 in October. Yes, many were discouraged. Some have left because they did not see God's plan develop as quickly as they thought it should. And this is where we need patience, brethren. We need patience as we await the fulfillment of our hopes. Yes, the way is rough, no doubt about it. Rougher than many of us expected. We talked with brethren who went before us and told us of some of the history. My parents went from house to house putting the book called Millions Now Living Shall Never Die. Many brethren have done that. By 1925, the change was supposed to come. The ancient prophets of old were going to be raised from the dead and live where? In that house in San Diego, right? But you know what happened? Discouragement, wasn't there? A lot of it. Even my parents were discouraged. Carmelita's parents also were involved in that. But they hung on. They were patient. And you know the scriptures that we often read, and we sometimes don't take them seriously. It says, wait upon the Lord. Watch and pray. I like that. As one brother said, don't run ahead of the Lord. Follow the Lord. And I like that. We talked with Jim and some of the questions that were asked of Brother Russell back in 1914 and 1915 and 1916. At some of the conventions, and you find it in the souvenir books, the convention souvenirs. And they're excellent. The questions. But you know, again, it's human nature. They asked Brother Russell such questions, it was difficult for him to answer. Because the people wanted something to happen in their day. 1914 is come and gone. We talked about it this morning. You know what's nice? That nothing happened in October 1914. All of you brethren are here. Because if that would have happened in 1914, none of us would have been here. Because there would have been no reproduction of human life. And the Lord had made it that way that we have the opportunity to be part of the bride class. That should be a joy. It's a great hope to us to realize that. Yes, we will have tests. We'll have tests from the world. Some of them mentioned we have tests from the brethren as well. Maybe more so than the world. We don't know. But the way is long. It seems that way, doesn't it? It seems so long. As one sister said, I'd be happy if the kingdom started tomorrow. Isn't that true? All of us would feel the same way. As you look through the world, you see so much of sin and death. Every day, every week, there's a child kidnapped someplace in the world, especially in the United States. It's so sad. Yes, it brings tears to our eyes. I don't know how many of you sometimes follow the statistics of some of the... how many people die in the world in one day? I don't know if you ever looked at the statistics of how many people die from automobile accidents only in the United States in one year. Between 50 and 55,000. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that much loss of life. It's just like wiping an entire city, a small city. It's hard to believe. But think about, okay, that's the United States only. What about Canada? There are times in a long weekend in Canada you can have as high as 500 to 600 people die on a long weekend throughout all of Canada. It's hard to believe that that could happen. Yes, not only just accidents, but there's boating accidents and all sorts of things that can happen. But you know, brethren, let us not tarry. Let us patiently wait. And that should be our attitude. You know, the Bible likens our hope to an anchor. I don't know if you ever remember Brother Wilford Price. He was a pilgrim. And he was a seaman. And he always used illustrations of a ship, a boat, and an anchor to give his discourse. And we enjoyed that very much. Sid, you probably remember him. Yeah. Yes. Our hope likens, the Bible likens our hope as to an anchor. A ship in a storm may drop its anchor. Why? For safety. But the anchor needs two other things. It's got to have a strong line. It's got to have a firm tie to the ship. And the anchor represents our hope. If it's for me, I'm gone fishing. The anchor represents our hope. The cable represents our faith. And a firm tie that we have is our consecration to know and to do His will. Let's read it. Hebrews 6:19. Here's what Paul says. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil. If we would let go of our hope, it would mean like a ship cutting loose from its anchor to drift upon a shoreless sea. But our hope is an anchor to our spiritual life. We're able to see into the mind of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If your hope and my hope is strong enough, if our faith is strong, our hope will hold beyond the veil. We all know that before long we will be on the other side, no doubt about it. The church will be complete. But we don't know when. But many of us speculate, don't we? Nothing wrong with that. I think Jonathan mentioned a few things. But I enjoyed a discourse a couple of years ago. I don't know if I should say it or not. Given by Jim Parkinson. He's looking at me, doesn't know what I'm going to say. It is nothing, there's nothing wrong when expressing your opinion. You remember that, Jim? But never use the opinion to be a doctrine. I enjoy that very much, and it is good. We all have opinions. We have right to opinions, as Brother John Freer had mentioned. But don't use those opinions as a doctrine. And that's interesting. And we know it's true. In Hebrews 6:11 we read, "It is my heart's desire that each of you will continue to manifest the same earnestness to attain the fullness of your hope even to the end." Brethren, regardless of when the end shall be, we know that God will not fail. Of when the time will be. We had brethren visit us from Moldova the last weekend. And the brother says, as long as the church is on this side of the veil, evil will still predominate. And how true that is. Satan the devil is still the god of this world. As we look at some of the other countries, what's happening, and we long for that day to be here to change this world. Things that are happening in Somalia, in Kenya, in Africa. The Surgeon General of the United States made a statement on television. They predict for the next year, this year and the next year, 6,000 people will die per day in Africa. It's hard to believe that. But it involves those that have diseases and AIDS and so on. 6,000 per day. It showed on television how kids are trying to make coffins for their parents. It's hard to comprehend that. And we know from Isaiah 40, verse 31, "You and I, they that wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Yes. We're looking forward to that day. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Remembering without ceasing, brethren, your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope." I asked one brother one time, he's gone beyond the veil years ago. I says, "Why did you say, you wrote in your articles, the kingdom is going to be here by 1960? He looked at me. He says, "I learned a big lesson." I says, "What's that?" He says, "Don't prophesy if you're not a prophet." That's the answer he gave me. And how true it is. How true it is. In Colossians 1, 4, and 5, we have these three points brought to us: faith, love, and hope. And united as three, these principal graces of our graces of our Christian life, really is what it is. And these graces are related, for there can be no hope without faith and love. Here the apostle speaks of the work of faith as expressed in activity of service. Brother Jim mentioned this yesterday about the mission of the church. While the labor of love was manifested in the attitude of the Thessalonians' brethren at that time towards their brethren in expression of love, but their faith had caused them to go beyond their own borders and their extension work. And we want to do the same, don't we? We want to tell the world of that wonderful kingdom. I mentioned yesterday to one of the brethren, and I also mentioned the testimony meeting. The past 12 months on the web page, some of you were here, some of you weren't, on the web page, there was 1.5 million people that looked at the web page. And what you have to do is turn into the guest book. And you look at the people, how they express their feelings of joy that there's hope. There's hope. We had a phone call we get a lot of phone calls. They're very encouraging. We had a phone call from a lady who owns a funeral home. And the brethren in their witness work have mailed out thousands of funeral kits, funeral home kits, that they mailed to the funeral homes with a sample of the Hope Booklet, with the sample of the funeral home's business being printed at the back. And this lady who owns a funeral home lost her husband. And this came in the mail. And she says it came at the right time. How she enjoyed reading that Hope Booklet. And brother, joy and peace. Just think of how many more there are. You know, the brethren then, before and now, everywhere need to be comforted and encouraged. We all do. Besides the love that we owe to all men, we had this mentioned the last couple of days, how important love is, and that's true. But there's a particular love due to the saints, brethren. We must love all the saints. Every one of us has symbolized our consecration. We're going to run for that prize of the high calling, aren't we? We're all brethren. As Jonathan Freer says, yeah, we may have different points of view, but that's a point of view. Don't worry about it. Because Paul says we all should have the Christian liberty to express our points of view. There's nothing wrong with it. Yes, we must love all our saints. We all need sympathy, no doubt about it. We need understanding. And now as then, we need warnings to resist the devil and his encroachments upon us. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to 14, I'll just touch a few scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to 14, he gives us a good lesson. And Paul says, comfort one another. Young and old, it don't matter what age we are, we need comfort. Comfort one another. We're to build one another up. Comfort the feeble-minded, or the faint-hearted, really is the proper translation. All of these need our love, brethren. We're all faint-hearted at times, aren't we? I know I am too, and you are. And we're to support one another. What if something happened in the world tomorrow? Where would you go? you'd go to your own brethren. Isn't that true? Regardless of what their point of view was or is or going to be, you're going to be together because we're all of that one body. Don't forget that. We're not any different. We have the same blood flows through our veins as you have. All of us have. We're to support the weak, to keep them from falling. Have you ever taken a feeble person by the arm to help him or her over a rough place in the road? Just an illustration. When your brother wavers somehow, we want to help him. And thus love labors. It exhorts, it warns, it comforts, it encourages. Brethren, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, Paul says. And how true that is. And we want to do that. The patience of hope. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of patience, of after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. I will not read 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, but these are very encouraging scriptures. Brother Jonathan Freer had told us yesterday how he enjoys the book of Ephesians. We all do. Because Apostle Paul gives us such encouraging words in those, especially chapter 4 of Ephesians. The standards set for the church. The standards set for us. We're to edify one another. Paul says. How do we do that? The example that we can use is if you want to become a mountain climber, what do? You go to a school that teaches you how to mountain climb. And when you go to this school, they tell you, well, wait a minute. You have to have this proper gear. You have to have proper boots, whatever garments you need. And what do they teach you there? If your buddy, your partner, runs into trouble when he's mountain climbing, you have to know what to do to help him. And he has to know what to do if you're in trouble. And that's the meaning of that scripture. Ephesians 4:15. To edify one another. That's the meaning of it. And we all want to do that. We want to help each other. And that's the mission of the church too, isn't it? But last but not least, we want to spread the gospel of the kingdom worldwide. And that's what our Lord told us to do. When His second presence took place, He was the King of the harvest, as we would say. Yes, and He used Brother Russell to expound that truth. Brings us joy. Brings us joy. That you and I still have the privilege of proclaiming the gospel message worldwide. Rick Sarasi took the funeral of his grandmother. And in it he mentioned what his grandmother did during her retirement. Those years that she had. She sent out 590,000 hope booklets, Hope for a Fearful World, to all the surrounding cities and villages in their area in Connecticut. 590,000, one elderly sister. She was 96, 97 when she died. What have we done? How much have we done? We want to continue to do that. What Brother Russell gave us, a legacy. It's written in the back of the Dawn magazine. It's written in the back of all the watchtowers at that time. It's written in the back of the Herald. What is our mission? To proclaim the gospel message worldwide. One here, one there will respond. That is important.
It is important.
So my prayer on your behalf is, brethren, that somehow, some way, that you and I could be faithful and to be at that marriage supper. What a wonderful hope that is. That you and I could be part of that body to bring blessings to the world of mankind. That's why we rejoice in the Lord. That Him, that the brethren have chosen here, rejoicing in the Lord. We are. Let's continue to rejoice in the Lord every day of our lives. Time is short. May God's Holy Spirit guide you each day of your lives, that you may be faithful to the covenant of sacrifice that you have made with the Lord. Amen.